So we are recording episode 100 of the Libby DeLucian podcast, and we thought we'd live stream it while we record it. So you might be catching us live, or you might be catching the recording. But this is episode 100 of the Libby DeLucian podcast, all about really going deep, removing those layers of complexity from your business and your life. And so for the 100th episode, I saw my team post episode 99 last week, and we have them like queued up because we have a backlog. And I thought to myself, wait, no, I want to shoot a special podcast episode for 100
Yeah.
because it's like a milestone. And so we wanted to shoot a special one for episode 100. I thought I would live stream in it at the same time. But we want to recap some of our best episodes, the most downloaded, why we started the podcast, and what you can expect in the future when it comes to the Libby DeLucian podcast. And also some of the mistakes.
Some.
Some. I made a lot. Some of the mistakes that we've made over the course of our podcast, right? And you guys know it's called the Libby DeLucian podcast, but sometimes it's just me. Sometimes I have guests on, and we've had some amazing guests. I'll go over those. And sometimes I have Chris on.
Yep.
Because, you know, it's a work. It's the podcast is all about life. Like, because our life is our work and our work is our life. Though all you people trying to chase that work-life balance, you're just going to keep running for the rest of your life. There's no balance. It's an integration. It's a work-life integration. It's how they work together.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why for us, there is no separation between work and life because you create the life and work and business you want. You can't manage time, guys. No one can control it. All those gurus teaching you time management, that's why you don't see them anymore, really, because we found out I was a crock of shit.
Yeah.
It's like, I even was a certified time management coach or expert.
yeah
I'm like, you can't manage something you can't control. Now
no
we can control ourself inside the time,
yeah
but we can't manage time.
oh yeah no That's where I first learned it was my dad. He was all about multitasking and time management, but
Okay,
man.
I fell into that because, you know, all moms, like, one of the great stamps of being a mother is like being a multitasker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fell into that one too. But, you know, why did I start the podcast, and what you're going to start to see it kind of shift a little bit. So I started the podcast originally for thought leadership, right? I was let's see, I had just come out of, I believe, Jonathan Potashnick's Service Autopilot Elite Group. It was a mastermind. It was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And I was in Dan Martell's group as well, for boardroom and SaaS Academy. I was also in a cleaning group as well. And then, you know, that owning softwares and being in different groups, whether it was cleaning or lawn care and landscaping and software cleaning, lawn care, landscaping, I was meeting all these amazing people. All these amazing people. And I wanted to bring them back to the people I knew, the people that followed us, the people that used our services, our products, so that they could meet them as well. And because I wanted people to get access to leadership. And that's kind of where it started.
Yeah.
And the original name of the first podcast was The Art of Transformational Leadership. I remember it now. I
Yeah,
couldn't remember it earlier.
yeah.
It just came to me. So the podcast is having an evolution. It was first named The Art of Transformational Leadership. Then we renamed it to Fearlessness
Yeah. And
because, go ahead.
I think that had a big staple or a big stamp on where we were trying to move things from.
Yeah, and I still love Fearlessness, but, you know, Fearlessness was like the whole walking through the fires of hell, not knowing how or even if you will come out on the other side. Right? That's being an entrepreneur. You have no idea what's going to happen. Your risk tolerance is so much different than other people's risk tolerance.
Yeah, and I think it was a great transition too, because Art of Transformational Leadership really kind of tried to bring some insights, and like you said, it's thought leadership. But there was this thing, this anchor, where it was making motion. I think where you wanted to push it to, and fearlessness was, I think, what you at the time, we tried to define like what you were, and what made you different in terms of being able to take these big these big risks, these big steps, and you know what was behind that. And we settled on, after a lot of discussions, a lot of date mornings, fearlessness, but being able to move when you're unsure or have doubt. And I think that transition was also trying to get people in motion as well. Yeah. People who saw it, watched it, and seeing if we could connect to that action.
Yeah, and I love the topic of fear. As you guys all know, like I wrote a blog the other day about fear and how there are two types of fear really affecting our business. They're running your business. You're not running your business. Fear is running your business. You know, if you like this topic, and or I can share the article here in the comments, but we can dive deeper on that. And you know, we all want to think that we don't have fear, but we do. We do, no matter at what level are. Like, it's just a different level of fear. You're fearing something else, bigger decisions, more money, like different things. And it stays with you. But, you know, there are two types of fear in business. And one is like the fear of making a decision, the fear of taking action. Those are the things that coaches help you with. And then there's expansion fear, right? Which is a whole nother type of fear that you don't even realize that you have. And then when you look at it, you can't not see it anymore.
Yeah.
So the article goes really deep on how fear that I wrote is really controlling your business. I don't know why I got into fear lately, like the last 2 months. Oh, I know why I got into fear. So we launched Leia, the AI that we have, and the amount of fear that I see in people when it comes to technology and AI was astounding. They were scared of it. They were like, well, what if I put it in there and my competitor gets it? No one can get your direct documents. Like, no one could, like, they didn't understand. It was a lack of knowledge that was creating fear.
Yeah.
They can't get it. I mean, they would have to know how to exactly ask particular questions and all the questions and the right questions to have AI give back the things that you put into it. So, and fear, what did you say fear was the other day to Yaya? Because she was scared of something?
Oh, gosh.
It's something made up in your head? Wait.
It's something, yeah, I think fear is something that's never happened.
It's never happened. It only exists in your mind, which I think was interesting. But, you know, I've gotten really big. And that's where fearlessness came originally with the podcast.
Yeah.
We were trying to kind of embody a phrase or a word that was me. I don't have a lot of fear, guys. It's also dangerous.
Yeah.
I'm very disruptive.
So I can break that down too.
Go ahead.
But, so there was the concept of fearlessness. And when we went through that discussion, when we kind of went through that progress and talked about it, there's two different splits that people can go down. One is the idea of hope. Which hope, by the way, is a great thing to be able to lean on. But hope is an external anchor to something that you have no domain over. You have no control over hope. And so when people have hope or faith, it's typically something that's outside of you that's really hard to control, especially when things go rough. And I think fearlessness was the anchor that's held within yourself. Yes, it feels more unstable because there's not something else that's there to tell you everything will be all right. But fearlessness is the anchor that lives inside of you. And when you do that, you can actually move through a lot scarier things if you can figure out how to control it. And so I think that's where we ended up going, is that fearlessness, being able to pull that anchor inside of you, will help you to move further in much more riskier, scarier motions than faith or hope ever would.
So it was the name of the second podcast.
Yeah.
Well, we renamed it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the basis. It was funny that we, you know, it was fearlessness. We're talking about it. And I've been really studying fear. I'm trying to figure out how to help people through fear. I'm also trying to figure out why I don't have very much of it.
Oh, we've learned a lot.
It's one of those things where we've learned a lot. I don't have a lot. And so you might see this in yourself. Like, I've been through some really, really extremely like life-changing circumstances, which makes you almost sometimes not numb to it. But then also you're a fear junkie because it makes you feel alive. And so I find that I'm always disruptive because it's the thing that I think I need, because if I'm not in that state, then I feel like I'm not doing anything. And so that's another reason why I've been studying fear, because, you know, I've went through like a hard child, like, you know, my childhood was great, but it was not easy in my past. So, you know, I used to work elephants. I trained elephants for years. You guys, I've been sharing, like, we're having our execution lab, our intensive, where we're going to come help you capture your systems and processes. We're also going to play with elephants in the afternoon. But I worked elephants my entire life up until I was like 32 years old. You can't be scared doing that.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a lot of fear there. Like I and that was my past career. And, you know, then I went through, a horrible divorce, horrible, you know, at the time losing my, like, well, I lost my kids temporarily for like 2 weeks. Don't ever do that to a mother, because
yeah,
I was like craziness. But then having to go through that and losing everything, like literally having the locks changed, losing everything. I literally had the clothes I had on, you know, going through that divorce and wanting to be just drugged through everything, you know, the ringer. And then sadly losing, like sadly having to, you know, help my children bury their dad because he passed away later. And we were friends at the time, we had made up. It's crazy, right? What happens when you go through a separation, like you hate each other, and then $14,000 later in attorney fees, you're a best friend. You're best friends. But having to, you know, go through that was like, and then, you know, we had to, then I was settled at the estate. Like I had to do everything. And, you know, then going through Hurricane Ian, we wrote about that in our book in One Layer Deep. I went through Hurricane Ian. So many people that read that first opening of the book, they messaged me, they go, oh my God, I didn't realize what happened to you. And I never said it publicly. You guys saw some of my videos and what I shared, but I never said public. I lost 99.8% of my customers in one day. Like my cleaning business was at a $2 million run rate, and we lost 99.8%, and we were done. I was demolished. And it's like, how do you come out of that? And then just going through like life, it's like, holy crap. No wonder I have very little fear, because it's like I am not tooting my own horn, because I also have my own issues because of those things. you come out a different person each time, which is also not great, because then you become, you know, as I was studying it, you become like adapted to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like an addict. You, the more you use, the more you want. And it was like, the more I went through, the more that if I wasn't going through something, I felt like something was wrong.
Yeah.
Because so now my life is like boring.
Right.
Something's wrong. It's boring.
Yeah.
So, you know, with that fear, it was really interesting to kind of see everything roll out. And that's really where fearlessness came from. But I wanted to kind of help people see it. And then I got into learning about it. Was because of AI, to be honest. Right now, people are losing their shit.
Yeah.
Over AI. They're my competitors are gonna see it. I'm scared. What if it gives someone my information? I'm like, or I love when someone says, what if I upload my process in it gives it to my competitor? I'm like, you really think your process is that good? I'm like, mine are not great, but mine are documented and organized.
Right.
But are they the best? Probably not. And it's fear that keeps us stuck.
Yeah.
It keeps us from not moving. If you feel like you're stuck in like quicksand and you're just trying harder. I think that's a great analogy. It's more work, more chaos, more hustle, but you're in the exact same place or worse.
Yeah. And that was my struggle for the longest time, and how I grew up with my dad was, it was always in preparation of, I think that's where I got stuck, was everything in my life was in preparation of, or making sure that things were set up the perfect way.
Yeah.
And I think that was more the future fear of, I couldn't take action on anything. And my fear was kind of redirected to this, no, let me go ahead and stay busy. Let me go ahead and prepare or plan, to the point to where I never got to anything. I myself am an entrepreneur. So I lack What's that? What is it for an entrepreneur?
Risk.
I lack risk or risk taking, which is, I think,
tolerance for risk.
Tolerance for risk, which is, I mean, essentially it's being able to tolerate fear, because, you know, with risk comes fear.
Or scary. Same thing.
Scary. Yeah. And so for me, I can't move past certain obstacles just because of the way that I kind of was conditioned and learned.
Meanwhile, I'll do something.
Yeah.
And it'll be like $10,000. Oh, crap. Like,
yeah,
that was an expensive experience. I won't do that again.
Yeah.
And that's why I said, for it, not having a lot of fear, which I don't have, and I can say that with full confidence, is also not a great thing, because it's extremely disruptive and can be extremely expensive.
Yeah.
Like, I've told Chris, please don't let me do anything. Don't let me buy anything until, like, I talk to you about it.
Yeah. We have a couple of filters in place where...
Yeah. And I don't care what he says, to be honest.
Yeah.
I just, like, because when you don't have fear, it can be dangerous, right?
Yeah.
You can go off and buy a building, right? And so, you know, Fearlessness, the podcast, that was the next one. And then, so if you guys are just tuning in, we are on episode 100 of our Libby Delusion podcast. And we were talking about the evolution of it and kind of where it's went. And then so from Fearlessness, we were the art of transformational leadership, because I wanted to bring all you guys, these great people I was meeting as I was traveling and speaking. And then we went to Fearlessness, and, from there, we went to Libby Delusion podcast.
Yeah.
I just went to the Libby Delusion podcast.
Yeah.
Mainly, this is going to sound really funny. It was SEO. No one could find the goddamn podcast.
Right.
Nobody. I'm like, I can't find it. I Googled it. I YouTubed it. I can't find it. And I couldn't even find it. My own podcast.
Yeah.
So when we renamed it to Libby Delusion, it's super easy to find now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was also in the transition of the book coming. And then now I want to, like, kind of talk to you about, before we dive into some of our, like, our best episodes, most downloaded, you know, the Libby Delusion podcast, it's sometimes it's just me. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's Chris. Sometimes we have a guest. It's not just me, but the podcast is a little different than most. It's not in a set space. Like right now we're in Georgia. Sometimes you're going to get on my Libby Delusion podcast, the recording of me doing a keynote or me doing a training. It's more like the Gary Vee podcast, where my marketing team is kind of just pulling, stuff from wherever they can get from me. If it's valuable content, we post it on our podcast. It's not like I'm just always sitting in a chair talking.
Yeah.
Scripted. It's
yeah.
very non-scripted. That's why it's all over the place. But now we're Libby Delusion podcast, and episode 100, you're going to start to see a shift in the podcast. We probably won't rename it, but we might incorporate a tagline mm-hmm. or a subtitle, where, you know, our goal, mine and Chris's goal, is to help take you deep, to help you live a one layer deep life, to help you run a one layer deep business. And we want to really, what we realized, I went to a great conference last week. Phenomenal. I'm kind of friends-ish with Mark Bradley. He owned LMN. He owns a great AI for lawn care and landscaping. And I went, he happened to be in town, and I was like, hey, Mark, can I come? He's like, yeah, sure. He gave me a ticket. I was like, and, you know, it's one of those things, it's not what they said. Like, you're just in the room and you kind of have like this moment, like, oh my gosh, I need to start showing people and talking more about what One Layer Deep actually is. The book explains it from a very basic level. It's a book. It's basic. We can't put so many things that we wrote didn't make it in the book. I actually need to go back and look at the spreadsheet.
Yeah.
All of the things that didn't make it in the book.
Yeah.
But we want to start teaching, like showing you, making videos about it, talking about how do you achieve a one layer deep life and run a one layer deep business, because it's transformational.
It yeah.
will change your life. I have 6 businesses right now, right? So let's count. I have Organize It at Fort Myers. I have Organize It in Oklahoma. I have Organize It the franchise. They're all 3 different entities and 3 different businesses with 3 different employees, or 3 different sets of employees. I have Woo Recruit. Don't look at my finger. It's kind of broken. So many years of basketball, guys. We'll recruit. I have Cell Convert Clean. I have 1LD AI, Leia AI. And then I also have Libby Galician LLC, which is all like the book, One Layer Deep. The book is in there. A lot of our trainings are there. So I have seven actual entities.
Yeah.
Seven. With different entities, different employees, different things. But when you run your business one layer deep, once you achieve that mindset and you learn how to document your business, you can take your way of running business and run seven. Just because I like have my cleaning company, the same way we run our cleaning company is the exact same way we run our software.
Yeah.
There's no difference. Business is business. The only difference is the actual way the service itself is delivered. It's not, there's no difference in how I do sales, how we do marketing. Like, there's no difference. How we do finance, there's no difference. But we want to start talking about that. Like, when I was there, I realized, like, oh my gosh, I have not done a good job at sharing one layer deep and asking other people to share one layer deep as well. How did it change their business? How did it change their life? It is not just about business, because our business is our life and our life is our business.
Yeah. And I will say that this was before One Layer Deep was actually a locked in, solidified concept. We started going through it ourselves in our marriage a while ago, because for the longest time, I was very closed off with that, you know, with the male-driven ego. I felt I had to do certain things, but, you know, I wasn't transparent. And there's a lot of things that created...
an example of what he didn't tell me about. We had an IRS bill.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't tell me. And I was like, this was earlier in our marriage.
Yeah.
Before I had Woot Recruit. I think it was, I don't know. I think it was right maybe when, it was before I had all the other businesses. He didn't tell me. And then he didn't pay the bill, I think, or he missed it. And I was like, what?
Yep.
And I'm like, excuse me?
Yeah. Back when I was 1099 working in audio, but doing the transition in, and that was a complete mess. But no, it was the whole male stigma of I gotta be the breadwinner. I gotta be the one in charge of, yeah. But I kept putting things in front of me, thinking that I had to do certain things, and you know, I had to make the decisions, I had to make the plans, I had to do this and that, because it was just that stigma that I built up. But that wasn't me. I sucked at all of that. I'll be straight up with you. But I wasn't willing to say, look, this isn't me. And it doesn't fit the way that I work.
Yeah.
And so what I ended up doing was, again, what I learned from my past is that I ended up planning to plan to plan to plan, never actually getting something done, which is how, like, the IRS payments and stuff got out of hand. And it was just a whole bunch of mess. But you're the one that actually helped me work through the first, like, concept of one layer deep, which was like breaking down my own like self-sabotage, breaking down like where I was failing in our marriage, my personal life, just the way I communicate with people. I'll be straight up with you is I was not one layer deep. I was afraid to hurt people's feelings. I lost out on a lot of opportunities in my old job, my old career.
Keep talking.
Yeah, we got a barking dog.
I have a yappy dog.
Yeah. But just everything boiled down to me.
Can you do something?
Not being one layer deep for myself.
Thank you.
Or just everything that I had in my life. And as I grew up, as I started to change and, you know, through the marriage, I wasn't prepared for like real life, outside of myself. And so I started to stack all this random shit everywhere. And it started stressing me out, and I wouldn't talk about my feelings. It would stress me out to no end. I wouldn't open up to you about it. And then that just kind of bled through, and you could feel that I was stressed out, but there was just this friction that was building up. We were not doing our date mornings at the time.
No.
So, and then I would go and escape and just try to find ways to like get my mind off of just like this overwhelming chaos of life. I didn't feel good about the marriage. I didn't feel good about where I stood. I felt devalued because, as a man, because I wasn't the breadwinner. I wasn't, you know, a lot of things.
Yeah, no, we know, like, one layer deep, like, living that lifestyle is, for us, changed our life. Like, we didn't always have the greatest marriage. We've been through counseling and mediators, mm-hmm. and told, like, you know, talks of divorce, and, you know, it mortified Chris.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But one layer deep is a concept I think that I've always lived, and I think it has to do with just kind of, like, the way my brain works. And it's not that I'm organized. It's just, it's got to be super simple.
Yeah.
Super basic. Super lean, right? Otherwise, I can't manage it. I can't keep up with it. I can't remember it. I just remember it.
Yeah.
You know, that's where the concept come. And the actual phrase came when I start, I was professionally organizing when I first started. And when I would go in and organize people's houses, so... After I separated and, you know, I lost everything, and I had to quit my past career, I kind of didn't know what to do with myself, and I started professionally organizing. And there's great money in it, by the way, so you guys should add it as a vertical to your businesses. I started professionally organizing, and, you know, everyone wanted these complicated systems, like, let me go to Target and buy a bin, and let me buy that hanger that I can hang 8 pairs of pants on, and I was like, no, like, it's a one-step solution. It's a one-step flow, right?
Yeah.
It's an action before the result. Like, what? Just the one thing, that's it. And I'm like, no, because I could make your house look beautiful, but if you cannot maintain it, then you won't, like, it won't matter. It's useless. So you guys have to think about that, like, in your business and in your life. If you can't maintain it, you don't need all this shit. You don't need all the chaos, all the clutter, all the stuff, right? We live in infobesity. Like, we're morbidly obese with information.
Yeah.
And so that's where, like, One Layer Deep originally came from. And we want to start showing that more and talking about One Layer Deep in the podcast about, like, what are actual things that we have done, or what have some of our guests have done or achieved to create a one layer deep, either lifestyle or one layer deep. They run their business one layer deep.
Right? Yeah.
Because here's the thing. At the end of the day, all this leadership stuff we're paying for, all this money we spend on courses, mindset, all these, and I love coaches. Don't get me wrong. I have paid my fair share of money. I love coaches. But if you don't have your business running one layer deep, that means it's documented. It's easy to find, right? Everyone knows where to find their answer, their solution, their question. You can't do that leadership work. You can't work on yourself. You can't implement the things you learned. You can't do nothing. You're just buying and buying and buying and buying and stacking all this stuff. And then you feel, well, at least I did, like a complete loser because I never implemented anything.
Yeah.
That I went off and learned and paid for because I was still over here answering the phone or doing the recruiting or doing the sales. And then, so I just kept feeling like worse and worse and worse and worse. And then all the new stuff was stacking on top. And then I would look at people and say, oh my God, why are they getting, like, why can they do that and I can't? Well, it's the boring, non-sexy stuff that grows and scales your business, guys. And that's one layer deep.
It's the work before the work.
It's the work before the work. You can't work on yourself if your business can't run by itself. And that's leadership, right? That's mastery. That's self-work. So if we're buying all that stuff and we're not using it, it's just turning into, what's it called? Shelf help.
Yeah.
It's shelf help. I mean, how many times have we paid for something and it turned into shelf help? It just sat on the shelf and we didn't do nothing with it. I have, like, 100 million times. And then finally, it's like, okay, we have to do these things. And so One Layer Deep is all about removing the friction and the unnecessary layers from your business and teaching you how to capture it in short, digestible pieces. So they're modular and they stack on top of each other. And that's where we want to start talking about more in the podcast is, like, how can we show you? How can we talk about it?
Yeah.
Like a one layer deep inbox.
Yeah.
We have a one layer deep, I'll show you my kitchen. Like, so if you guys ever have questions about hey, Libby, how do you run a one layer deep life? Like, what does your kitchen look like? What's your bathroom? I swear to God, I keep telling some of my friends, mainly Laura and Holly, that I'm going to do one of those morning get ready with me videos. Yeah. A morning get ready with me, because you would crack up what my morning get ready with me looks like.
Yeah.
Morning get ready with Libby. It's about, how long do you think that video would take?
2 minutes?
2 minutes. And it might include the shower. Because again, one layer deep is about simple. We even eat.
One layer deep. Yeah.
Explain, because that's like more your domain.
Oh no, I mean, it's incredible. You think about, it's a single execution flow. It's a one step flow. So instead of making, you know, three different things and sides with the meals, we really boiled it down to like, how can we boil it down to like one step to make all the food?
Yeah.
And
that's not like one layer deep with the way we eat.
No.
We chose that way for a way of life.
Yeah.
And I lost 75 pounds, ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in menopause or going to go through menopause, I suggest this diet.
Mm-hmm.
I lost 75 pounds with very little working out. I mean, I work out, but
yeah,
I'm not in the gym for 2 hours. I'm not even in the gym for an hour.
Yeah.
And when I lost the weight initially, I wasn't working out. I was just walking.
Yeah.
And once I lost the weight, then I added weights. But keep going.
Yeah. No, but I mean, one layer deep when it comes to food is, I mean, we eat meat. So
we talk about what we are. We're carnivore.
So, animal, we only eat things that are derived from animals. So
derivative
of animals. So
I learned that word meat, in a paper today. Last week.
Yeah. Meat, certain types of dairy. We will do, fermented vegetables. So that's pickles, olives,
and seafood.
But for instance, instead of having to make a from scratch homemade, lasagna or this and that, and you know, it takes 2 hours to cook. Literally, I have the sheets with the pans, baking sheets, bacon, and some shabu, some thinly sliced, what is it? Prime rib. And then we lay it out, bake it 15 minutes, it beeps, done. And then ta-da, it's done. And then you throw away the sheet and you have nothing to clean up.
Yeah. So we eat one layer deep. It's very basic. We realized that the other day. So that even eating carnivore is one layer deep.
Yeah.
There's nothing to, like yesterday we stopped to eat and we ordered 1 pound of brisket.
Literally.
And that's what we ate.
Yeah.
No sides, no anything. 1 pound of brisket for lunch.
It's just one action to get to the result.
And so it's simple. So then like, let's just talk about our car.
Yeah.
So we have a Tesla.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And I'll be honest, the main reason I bought a Tesla, so I hit a certain bracket, right, with taxes. And so my accountant says, so I asked my accountant, and we're talking about tax credits. And I've been really into tax credits. I just got a $13,000 R&D tax credit, I think. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, it was more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was. It was for one of the businesses because we have three softwares. I have to see what the other one's on. And so I'm really into tax credits, and we needed a new car. We actually had four cars, and I sold all of them, and we had no car for like a year.
Yeah.
No car for a year. Because again, four cars was not one layer deep. Four cars was a lot of maintenance, oil changes, insurance, like just the management of four cars. So we got rid of all the cars, and we didn't have a car for a year, and everybody's like, how did you get around? I'm like, Uber, Instacart. I rented a car every once in a while. I Ubered to the airport because I travel a lot. And we work from home and I didn't really need to go anywhere. And so we went without a car for a while. And I asked my accountant before I went and bought a car, what kind of car should I get? We were only looking to get one car. So we got a Tesla because of the tax credits. I'm just going to be upfront. I didn't know anything about them. She said, look, I don't want to offend you. You're either pro or against.
Right.
And I said, well, I don't really have an opinion because I don't have an opinion. I don't know. And so the tax credits were phenomenal. And so we ended up with a Tesla. And the car originally was for me, but mm-hmm. I don't drive anywhere. So it's now Chris's car.
Yeah.
I'm just a passenger. But my God, is this the most one layer deep mechanism I've ever seen in my life?
Yeah.
There's no key. You don't even turn the car on or off. Like, so right now we're traveling and we have a rental car and we left the car running because we didn't turn it off because we forgot to turn it off. And then we were like, oh crap, where's the key?
I don't know.
We left the key in the car with all of our stuff in the car overnight.
Without locking it.
Without locking the car. Because there was no key to manage. And so one layer deep is all about, like, how can I remove the layers of complexity, the layers of management? What are the things I have to think about? What do I have to manage? What could, and the Tesla was completely by chance. Like I said, I bought it for the tax credits. I didn't know anything about electric cars.
Yeah.
I actually still don't, to be honest. I bought it because I thought I was buying myself a nice car, and Chris ended up with the car. It's okay, because I want a Jeep Wrangler.
Which, by the way, wasn't one layer deep.
No. I went to test drive a Jeep Wrangler, and I didn't qualify for the tax credits for that car, or the car didn't qualify. And the guy was like, we were there like 30 minutes. I couldn't even get no one to talk to me. And then finally someone did. And there's like, there's 36,000 options that you could choose for a Jeep Wrangler. And I was like, 36,000. Maybe he said it was 36,000.
It was a point of pride for him to say it.
And I was like, holy crap. Like, I don't even, can I just have an orange one? Like,
right.
I was like, I don't know about everything else. Like, can it just be orange? And, I was like a little overwhelmed with 36,000 different options that I could have chose in my Jeep Wrangler. And I was like, can I just have the pretty one? Like,
and
the orange one. I actually, as a child, always wanted a yellow one. But I can't buy a yellow one right now because then it wouldn't fit our brand.
Yeah.
They came out with an orange one for 2026. It is nice.
Yeah. Even through the buyer's cycle.
I couldn't even get a price for the Jeep Wrangler. They wouldn't even give me the price. They're like, we have to talk to our manager. When I went to the Tesla dealer, they were like, yeah, here's the price. It's on the phone. It's on the app. It's on the car.
It's no different. It's just this.
And then I asked the sales guys, I'm like, do you guys get commission? And they didn't. It was interesting. Like, cause I'm like, you're not really good sales guys. I literally was asking the guys, like, how does this work? And there's like, there's four options. There's four colors. And that's it. And two different sets of tires. I was like, oh, I can choose that.
Yeah.
Like, and it was just interesting, but the car, we realized it's extremely, extremely simple. When we got in a car to drive, I'm like, oh my God, I have to put it in park. Like, oh my gosh, I have to turn it off. Oh my gosh, I have to remember the key. Like, oh my gosh, like.
Yeah. No, the flow, again, it's the one-step flow to the point to where getting out of the car, I just unbuckled.
Last night we went to eat. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so normally in the Tesla, you would, again, with the one-step flow, you literally, you go, you drive, you go ahead and park, and you unbuckle, and by this, actually unbuckling, it will automatically put it in park for you.
And you don't turn
or,
it off.
Or, you don't turn it off, it automatically turns off once you step out, or you open the door, and it'll put it in park and turn off. So, in this rental car, we go and park, because we're going to go eat here in Georgia, and I go and drive into the spot, and I unbuckle, and I'm about to get up, and my foot just kind of lifts up off the brake just a little bit. And then Libby looks at me like, it's not going to put in park.
No, you're still in drive.
Yeah, I was still in drive. And so there was a car in front of me, and so what would have happened is I would have inched forward and just hit it, because I wasn't too far away from the car. And so two things went wrong there. One is I got comfortable with the one-step flow.
Yeah.
I didn't put it in park. And secondly is, I had to make sure that I took the key out and I pushed the button to stop the car after. Yeah. And then...
No, you had to put it in park,
and
too.
And then I had to put it in park. I had to turn off the car. And then I also had to make sure that I locked the gosh darn car.
Yeah. And take the key with you.
Because when you walk away from the Tesla, it automatically locks.
So what I'm trying to prove is one layer deep, you can make your business that simple to run.
Yeah.
That easy.
The car was only an example.
Don't drive a minivan.
Unless it serves a purpose in your life.
No, I used to have a minivan and I missed my minivan.
Yeah.
There was so much room in it. But that was just like an example of like, you know, carnivore. No, there's no choosing. It's pretty simple. You can have meat or meat. You can add eggs and cheese. you know, the Tesla versus the amount of steps that I have to remember to do versus when you didn't have to do those, how much easier it was. It's the brain capacity that it's using when you don't, like, if you create that simple one layer deep process, you're using less brain power that you can use for something else.
No, and this is something that can be applied in every corner of life, which I find is amazing, and I start to look for more places I can.
Yes.
And so working out.
Oh, yes.
What we do now, or what I've done now, is, and I've talked about it before, the micro workouts, but I've simplified it so much that the one step flow really has become a 30 pound or 50, depending on it, 30 pound kettlebell, and certain stance, certain lifts, 50 reps, 3 times a day. Kettlebell is literally right next to where I stand when I'm working. And so for me, the one step flow is I turn around, pick it up, work out, put it down, go back to whatever I was doing. Instead of having to wake up early, prepare to drive an hour to a local gym, spend an hour and a half working out, to drive back, get changed, and then go ahead and proceed with the next steps. And so I cut out probably about 16 steps in that flow to achieve the same result.
Yeah.
For myself, this is the way that I work and I flow, and it helps.
Yeah, so that's our goal. Like, and so you're going to start to see that with the upcoming episodes of our podcast. And, you know, we live a one layer deep life. Our house is extremely basic, like extremely. And so for a lot of you guys that listen and follow us, you know, I'm doing live events. So we have our 1LD execution lab coming up in April. And then we have a few other events in June. We have our customer intensive in Lehigh Valley. And then I think it's in October, we have our finance intensive in Florida, in Northern Florida, Daytona Beach. And then we were going to do a couples workshop, right? A couples retreat in Oklahoma in December. And then I was like, wait a minute. I asked Chris this the other day, Oklahoma in December.
Huh.
I don't want to go to Oklahoma in December. So I have recently, I haven't updated it yet on the website, but we are going to do the December couples one layer deep intensive, right? We're going to talk about self-sabotage. We're going to talk about how we work together as, what are our roles in the business as couples, in the house, in the business. We're going to do it in Florida, in Fort Myers, because in December, everyone wants to be in Florida.
Yeah.
And actually, we're going to bring you into our home. I asked Chris this the other day, would you mind if I brought the people to our house? So exclusively for six couples, you will come to my house. We have a small home, but it's big enough. But we also have a big pavilion outside. And we have a full-size basketball court outside. So we can set up a nice area. We can work outside in the pavilion. We can work inside the house if the weather isn't great. And we're going to take you to some of our favorite restaurants in town. And you're going to spend 2 days with us in our home. For a very, very intimate setting of, so that you can actually see a home that runs one layer deep.
Yeah.
Because I'm not fooling you full of shit. I live it and breathe it. And so I'm going to bring you into my home so I can show you what it looks like for an example of what you're trying to achieve. And I didn't achieve this overnight. Even as a professional organizer in my past, I didn't achieve this overnight. It is a work in progress.
Yeah.
And we're going through cycles again. We're here at this cabin and I'm like,
oh yeah,
let's throw stuff away. Well, because we Airbnb it out and we found that people just leave random stuff. Somehow we have 3 Christmas trees at the cabin.
Pretty funny, yeah.
How are there 3 Christmas trees? Well, the renters, when they come for Christmas, left 3 trees. So it's an evolution of your business and yourself. But my God, is it an amazing evolution.
Yeah.
So fun. And we just want to get deeper and deeper and deeper, right? Because when you go deep, that's intention. You're doing everything with intention. Like, you're not even going to take a step without intention. Because if you do, it's waste.
Yeah.
And we want to show you that. So I felt that December in Fort Myers, it was way funner than December in Oklahoma. But we're changing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anything else before we wrap up? I didn't even cover some of our top podcasts.
Yeah. Let's do that.
So, this is episode 100 of our podcast, and I had told our team, like, oh my gosh, I want to shoot a special episode for episode 100 talk about the evolution of the podcast, going from the Art of Transformational Leadership to Fearlessness to now Libby Delusion Podcast. Chris is on here so much, I was like, should we just call it the Delusion Podcast?
We'll keep it as Libby Delusion. It'll track better.
But some of our top podcasts over the years, and we, again, my first episode, this podcast launched 3 names ago, June 14th of 2023. And so I, just like anything we do, I overshot, I'll shoot an episode a week. And then I didn't.
Right.
And then, because, you know, I overcommit and underdeliver. And so then I was doing like one a month, and that was kind of like, meh, okay. And then I got the opportunity to be signed into a podcast network, Work Define. And it was an amazing opportunity. It's not what you know, it's who you know, guys. Dan Martell introduced me to these gentlemen. And actually, Dan Martell's EA and my EA became friendly, and that's how we got into the network. It wasn't actually Dan. It was our EAs. And when we got introduced into the network and they wanted to bring my podcast on, and it's called Work Define, so it's all things work. HR, hiring, recruiting, actually the job, like job stuff. It's all things to do with work. I had to sign a contract where I had to deliver a podcast a week.
Yeah.
And so then I had to get my shit together and I get really serious. And so we started producing more podcasts. So that's why we're a lot more consistent now. I have to be. But our very first episode was June 14, 2023. But our number one performing episode was with Melody Edwards. And actually, we're going to see Melody tomorrow.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to the recording, I'm sorry. But we're going to see Melody tomorrow. And she owns Home Service VA. And we recorded a really great podcast on charting new paths, right? About grit and growth. When you want to change in life, right? You want to take a different path or avenue. Because sometimes you just feel something pulling you somewhere. And how do you listen to that? Some of our other popular podcasts that I really love to do, one was with Molly Moran, and it was Growing Fearlessly in Business, right? And in life. That was one of our top downloaded podcasts. Another one with Matt Green. He owns Blue Duck Landscape and Pest Control.
Recently rebranded here.
Rebranded. And I think we talked about the rebrand in there, but his is the Blueprint to Grit. The Blueprints of Grit. And it fits very well with his Blue Duck.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to see Matt again, actually, next week.
Yeah.
But we had Matt Green on here as well. And then we had a great one with The Journey of Becoming a Great Leader with Ricky Rigolato in the commercial cleaning space. So lots of people in here, some great guests. We're not just cleaning. We're leadership, because I've had software people on here. One of my favorite one was with pricing with Bill.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he did, like, how do we price our services or our products? He's phenomenal. So we have everything from commercial cleaning to lawn care to landscaping.
To the head of a coffee franchise or for HR. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sam. Yeah. The journey. Yeah. Sam was, a leader in, Dutch Bros.
Yeah.
And now has went on his own and is doing coaching and consulting.
Mm-hmm.
So this podcast is across. It's business and life, because again, they're the same thing. So whether you're just starting your business or you want to start a business or you're already in business, like that's what we're here for. We're here to help make it simple. No complicated, nothing. No complicated systems, frameworks. And share it with anyone else that's in business that might be struggling with life or business, right? It's not easy, especially if you're a mom or you have young children, if you're a parent and you're trying to build a business and you have young humans in your home.
Yeah.
It's not easy. I would say probably our biggest struggle right now is our daughter.
Yeah.
It's not managing 7 companies. It's managing our daughter, because what do we want to give her? We don't want to work too much, but we still need to work.
Right.
Like, and because she's homeschooled, it's a challenge to say, hey, we can't play right now. We're working. We can play later. Or hey, I'm in a meeting. And so that's literally our biggest challenge right now. And we're trying to figure out how do we create a one layer deep, like system flow when it comes to Yaya in her school and how kind of we're living our life.
And I think also in really passing down the one layer deep philosophy to the kids.
Yes, absolutely. So I have loved doing this podcast. And I want to thank everyone who has downloaded, who follows us, who shares it. This is for you. And so if you have questions at all, you can always, 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 and I don't ever not answer anyone, DM me, you can email me, you can text me, and I will get back to you. If you have a question, if you have a concern, if you're like, Libby, how do you achieve a one layer deep? What do you eat? And I can tell you, like, hey, how do you set up your kitchen? I'm a working mom and I'm struggling with the flow of the kitchen. Hey, like, I own a company and I don't know how to manage being a wife and managing my husband. I can help you with that too.
Yeah.
So reach out to us. We're always here. We're so easy to reach and get to. I was telling this Chris the other day, you know, I had an executive assistant and I lost her because she moved up in the company. And then I hired an assistant and she's phenomenal right now, but she's more of like admin. She's helping me with administrative stuff for one of the companies and some stuff for layup or AI. And I was like, you know, I don't really know if I want a personal assistant again. I want my life to be so simple that I don't need that.
One layer deep.
It's one layer deep. I don't need that. If I'm adding a layer in between someone trying to get in touch with me and like my assistant, then I'm just adding more work. And so how can I make it one layer deep? How can I make it easy for me to respond to everyone? So that's why right now you're getting me. I had an executive assistant. She moved up. I hired an assistant, but I told Chris, I'm not ready to have one. And so she's managing stuff for me that I was supposed to be managing in the company. but she's not managing me.
Yeah.
And I want to create a life where I don't need that many layers. I want it simple. I want everyone to be able to get to me if they need it, if they need something, if they have a question. Because to me, that's what we're here for. Right? Whether you're an employee, you're a customer, you're a friend, or you're a peer. People have to be able to get to me, get to you,
which is me. I think it helps to keep it human, too. Yeah.
But you have to keep it simple. That's why if you message me, you're going to get a voice message back.
Yeah.
You will not get, I will not text you back. I will voice, because it's simple. It's one layer deep. All right, guys, thank you. And we will see you on episode 101. Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WooRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.